Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. It's 7:35 on this Sunday morning, and I'm joined here in the studio with a special guest this morning. My brother Steve is here, and thank you for coming in. And I've done a little bit of promotion for this, but I wanted you to take this opportunity. You've got the Wings and Wedges golf outing coming up here on behalf of Angel Flight Central.
Very kind of you. Thank you for having me. I want to encourage your listeners to attend the Wings and Wedges annual golf outing September 23rd at lovely Prairie Landing Golf Course in West Chicago, right near the DuPage Airport. It supports Angel Flight Central, which provides free flights for people in need, humanitarian and medical missions throughout a 10-state region, including Illinois. And I'm closely tied to this organization, serve with them, and I'm very fond of them. So appreciate you.
Well, and Frick, we've talked about your plane, too, and the magic parachute.
Which fortunately has never been used.
Yes. I remember that great question that got asked. Yeah. Have you ever used it before?
Well, never used.
So you can get more information about this at www.angelflightcentral.org. And if you can help out, it's certainly greatly appreciated. Steve, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
Also joining me here in studio is Vince Kolber, and Vince is the Republican candidate in the 5th Congressional District. That's the north side and near west suburban 5th Congressional District. And Vince, thanks so much for joining me this morning here in the Allstate Showcase studio.
Rick, it's a pleasure to be here on this beautiful triathlon morning here in Chicago.
Muggy. It's a muggy triathlon. And I've noticed, too, the fog is starting to roll in a little bit, too. So good luck to all those triathletes out there. Vince, I mean, this is one of the most weirdly drawn congressional districts that exists in Illinois. Not the worst, but it stretches all the way from the lake, goes all the way through the north side, Wrigley Field area, and then hits kind of O'Hare and takes a quick turn south to parts of DuPage County, the far eastern sections of DuPage County. And it's not an easy district. It's a difficult district for a Republican.
Absolutely, no question. We start out, as far as registered voters, we're outnumbered 2-1. This district was a storied district. It goes back to Dan Rostenkowski, followed by Michael Patrick Flanagan, followed by Blagojevich.
You remember his name, don't
sure,
you?
Sure, yes, right. Absolutely. And the story is that it's the only congressional district that has its own cell in the penitentiary.
Well, it does have a very storied background. There's no doubt about that. Vince, why don't you tell us a little bit about what your background is?
So I came here in the mid-70s, got a job at a bank, went to the University of Chicago, night school. Shortly after that, I started an equipment leasing company, married my lovely wife, Patricia, who's with us here today. We've raised a family here and built a business here in Chicago and Illinois. In particular, my businesses have brought me into the railroad industry and the airline industry. That's really important. It makes me uniquely qualified to be in Congress and be in government at this time, because both of those industries, over my more than 30-year career in serving them, have been through tumultuous financial difficulties. Anyone who's been around Chicago for a while will remember names like the Milwaukee Road, like the Rock Island Railroad. All those are gone now. The Santa Fe. But yet, today, we have a revived and very vibrant railroad industry in this country. Same story with the airline industry, and it continues. We all remember the Midways, the Braniffs, the Easterns, who are no longer with us. We've been through all that. More recently, we went through bankruptcies with the major airlines, all of them. And now we still have a Republic airline in Chapter 11 here in the United States. I've been through all of those episodes, and I've served that industry, and always with the view that we can work our way through difficult problems if we keep focused on the future. We have difficult financial problems in this state and in the country to a much larger degree. Congress needs people like me who have that kind of experience, that kind of vision, to help bring this country out of it, this state and this country out of the fiscal and balance sheet morass that we're in.
Is it purely a matter of a problem as you see it? Is it a problem of spending, too much spending, or is it maybe spending misplaced priorities?
Well, I think priorities have to be decided clearly going forward, and misplaced priorities get us to where we are. But it is both a day-to-day spending problem, and it is a balance sheet problem. So if you misspend, if you spend more than you take in consistently over time, if you make more commitments over time than you have the resources to fill, then that accumulates in liabilities. We have that in the state of Illinois with our liabilities exceeding $100 billion, and we have it in Washington with our liabilities exceeding $87 trillion, according to Truth in Accounting, a think tank here in Chicago.
When you look at issues such as liabilities, we also talk about things like Social Security, Medicaid, and it seems like it's a constant conversation in campaigns about the solvency of Social Security, for example. Where are you on that issue?
So we have to look at the totality. So that $87 trillion is composed of $20 trillion, now pushing $20 trillion, of money actually borrowed by the U.S. Treasury. The rest of it is the unfunded liability of all the social insurance programs, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, those three large ones. And then, of course, the fourth one that has come along in the last 8 years, and that is the Affordable Health Care Act. And that one we're just starting to learn. And we really don't know yet what the impact of that is going to be long term. But it is the underfunding of those programs that creates the problem, so that there's a projection we're going to collect so much in revenue for those programs. And there's a projection that says we're going to expend so much. And the problem is that the expenditures projected way exceed what we expect to take in. And that's the liability, if I haven't overcomplicated the problem. And that's what gets us to the $87 trillion number. Now, we only have somewhere between 80 to 95 million taxpayers in this country. So when you do the math on this $87 trillion, we have a number that's now approaching $1 million per taxpayers of these liabilities that have accumulated at the federal level.
So let's take Social Security. How do we fix Social Security?
Social Security, being the I'll call it the granddaddy, if you will, of our social insurance programs, can number one be fixed in two ways. One is that we can absolutely assure people that what they've paid into Social Security, they will get out. That's the first thing. And the second thing, if it is truly an insurance program, it needs to be constructed like an insurance program. When it started under Roosevelt, the life expectancy of a male in the United States of America was my age, 64. Today, our life expectancy is up in the upper 70s, and the insurance program has not been adjusted to that. There is absolutely no question in my mind that we have to gradually move out the eligibility date to get closer to the point at which is the average mortality of our retiring Americans. That is essential to save this program.
So moving that age to what and over what period of time?
I think it can be done very gradually, and it has to equal the average mortality of whatever it is. So right now, that's probably in the mid-70s. But we can do it in a very gradual way over time. And the other thing that's really important about doing this, for people that are near retirement, you know, people probably 55 and older, well, then you have to grandfather them in because they haven't been preparing their life for this change, right? But you can do a much more restricted reform for them, and then for those coming behind them, you can move out that age.
We're speaking with Vince Kolber. He's the Republican candidate in Illinois' 5th Congressional District. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. ...748 on this Sunday morning. I'm Rick Pearson. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm here in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by Vince Kolber. He's the Republican candidate for Congress in the 5th Congressional District, and the incumbent, Mike Quigley, will also have him on, afford him an opportunity to appear on this show as well as we start moving closer and closer to election time. Vince, kind of the question that all Republicans get asked these days... What do you think of your presidential nominee?
Well, as a Wharton graduate, a fellow Wharton graduate,
I've noted that, with
Donald Trump, and as someone who has really been interested in getting someone from the private sector into government, I certainly am excited about the possibility for this country of getting someone like a Trump to turn this country around. We need a turnaround player. He's got that type of experience. Get beyond all the aberrations and the histrionics. This individual will bring us, I think, a very sound Supreme Court over time, which will protect our culture, will get tax reform. I think those are the most two important things. Thirdly, I think he will be great for our posture in the world from a national defense perspective. People are concerned about his unpredictability, but his unpredictability is the most significant attribute he has in world affairs. And I believe our enemies will be on the edge of their seat with a Donald Trump in the White House like never before.
But Vince, let me ask you, I mean, you use the term aberrations, but I mean, certainly it's well documented that things he says at one point he denies saying, or he changes his mind and completely goes the other way. And while you may cite that as unpredictability, I mean, as a business person, one of the things I hear all the time is people like at least sustainability, that even if they don't like policies, that at least they know what they're getting.
So we've never had a politician or someone in politics who has changed their view. I think this is.
But I'm talking right. Virtually everything he has talked about, he's changed. He's changed his mind on immigration just as recently as last week, and now he's changed his mind again on immigration.
So I think his,
I'm not picking on him. Right. I'm just stating facts here.
Sure. Well, fair enough. I think with respect to immigration, he's been very consistent in saying that we need the rule of law applied. And that's been a big problem in our country as far as keeping us safe and secure. We fail to apply the laws that we have on the books. He's been very consistent about that. Most recently, to get into the nuance, there's been some indication that he might consider something along the lines of a path to a legal status. Those are my words, not his. But this week, he was exploring that in conversation. So fair enough. I'm for a path to a legal status, and I applaud that moderation in his position on immigration.
And when you talk about a path to legal status, and of course, there's the word amnesty gets thrown around a lot, okay? And then there's two ways. I mean, one is, when I frankly think of amnesty, I think of it as a path to citizenship, and that was kind of the Gang of Eight working group that existed in the U.S. Senate, and that's the plan that ultimately hasn't gone anywhere. But then there's also, some people view amnesty as a path to legal status. How would you attain that path to legal status? And what happens if people throw the amnesty word around?
I think you're absolutely correct in that issue and the way you describe it. I think that's the way it is picked up. But here's the thing. We've had 8 years of absolutely nothing on this burgeoning problem in our country. The Democrats had the Senate, the House, and the White House for 2 full years and did absolutely nothing. If there was ever an opening in our time to correct this problem, it was then. And now here we are, and this country is struggling with this issue. And we've got a leader out there who has taken the issue and is running with it. Now, if I were to make a prediction, I think we're going to end up in this situation and a solution, which I applaud, which is a path to a legal status, notwithstanding the A word, if you will, notwithstanding the A word. And frankly, where I'm coming from, I'm an independent, I'm an outsider. But from where I'm coming from, I get flack for taking this position. But I think it's the correct one, and that's what I'm going to be talking about during this campaign.
You, obviously, with your business, successful business background, and the concept of bringing that kind of a business backing to Washington, here on the local level, we've got Bruce Rauner as governor, and people voted for him as governor as a change, and see, but success has not been very forthcoming here when it comes to that. I mean, what do you bring as a businessman to a Washington that's entrenched in its own kind of mired politics?
Well, like Bruce Rauner, here is someone who is challenging the status quo in Illinois. And the status quo is that party opposite controls both houses in Springfield, and nothing can get done. And this challenge will not be the case if we were to get all three, two houses and the executive branch. You could actually move things in Washington, D.C. But it is important in Illinois that we have an adult in the room who is saying no. Bruce Rauner is fighting for reform in Illinois. I supported the term limit ballot initiative in the last cycle. I supported the independent map initiative this cycle. And both of those have been defeated, not in the state house, but in the Illinois courts. It's unbelievable. This state has a real problem. We need this kind of fundamental reform. Bruce Rauner has been leading that charge, and we just have to keep at it. Illinois is shrinking. When I came here in 1974, we had 24 congressional representatives. Today we have 18. Next cycle, we're going to lose another. We're already halfway there.
You mentioned term limits, and I assume you've then taken a term limit pledge. Although the issue of those ballot initiatives being defeated in the courts are also issues that, frankly, go to rule of law and questions about the limited window that exists in the Illinois Constitution for those kinds of initiatives. Of course, like anything else, the law can be interpreted in different ways. And we'll be talking more later in the show about the rejection by the Illinois Supreme Court, 4-3, on the Independent Maps Initiative. I wanted to ask you, speaking of business, at some point, you spoke about the issue of minimum wage and that you didn't believe necessarily in an establishment of a minimum wage. Could you explain that or clarify that?
Well, I'm very fortunate to have economics degrees from two of the finest institutions in the world on the question of economics. And I can see no basis for the argument that minimum wages will help grow jobs. No. In fact, when we increase our minimum wage, we lose jobs. The minimum wage proposed a couple of years ago was going to cost the U.S. Half a million jobs. Now they're talking about an even higher minimum wage if it goes to $15. That's like 6 million jobs in this country. That is, in fact, what happens. And who gets hurt? The most, the people in the most difficult circumstances or the people who are trying to climb up the economic ladder. They can't get the kind of jobs that I got when I was a young man coming into the world. We had hardly any minimum wage, and I did the most rudimentary jobs were available because the minimum wage wasn't a factor when I was growing up in the 60s.
We've been speaking with Vince Kolber. He's the Republican candidate in Illinois' 5th Congressional District. That's the north side of Chicago, stretching to O'Hare and then down into Elmhurst and the eastern part of DuPage County. Vince, thank you very much for joining me this morning.
Rick, it's been my pleasure. The listeners can find me on www.votevince.com, and I'm grateful.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Sunday Spin on WGN.